Okay, so we're doing the Rambam. And perhaps we'll get back to the question we lost yesterday. We'll see our summary. So the Rambam is in Hilchos Chanukah, Terek Gimel Halacha Aleph. Okay, first you all have Hilchos Chanukah. So the Rambam says, "V'bayis sheni kishemalchu Yavan." So in the second of the Beis Hamikdash, when the Greeks ruled, it goes with Gzeros al Yisrael. Made decrees against the Jews. Ubatlu Dasa, and they negated their religion. Veloinichos and lots of Torahs. They didn't let us be involved in Torah mitzvos. Upashtu yadam v'memonam, and they spread their hands in the Jews' money. Ubiv Noseim and in their daughters, Jewish daughters. V'nichlinsu lehechal. They entered the hechal, the Beis Mikdash. Upartzu v'pratzos, and they made breaches in the walls or whatever. V'timotayos, and they were tame. Those things were tar. Okay. It's Sarlam the Yisrael Ma'od Bipnea. The Jews were very pained from them because of them. Malachatzim Lachatz Gadol. And they oppress them. This is great pressure on the Jews. Ad Shadricham Alem Elokei Yoseinu. Until God was Merachem on us, the God of our fathers. Ve'oshiyam Yadam. And he saved them from their hands. Etzilam. Okay, save them. The Gavru Bnei Chashmonoi, Akwan Ragdol. So the Chashmonoi and the sons of Chashmonoi and the Kwan Ragdolim were victorious. Right, and they killed them. They killed the Greeks. Shiu Yisrael Miyadam. God saved the Jews from their hands. And they put up a king from the Kohanim. Chazar Malchus Yisrael Yasrael Masayim Shana Arachot Nashani. And now the Jews had a king for basically more than 200 years until the second quarter. Okay? So that's a basic story. The Jews were oppressed. So it's the Torah Mitzvos. Physically, their mama and their daughters, and there was the Mikdash, they broke the Mikdash and stuff. So then, and God basically saved us, right? Good. So far, so good. When the Jews were victorious on their enemies, and they destroyed them, it was the 25th of Kislev. And they entered the Hechel, the Mikdash. They only found the one flask, whatever, of tahar oil. Right? They only had enough oil to last for one day. And they turned out, they lit the menorah for 8 days. Right? You guys know this story. And she cuts shuzesim till they crushed more olives. It was Yashem Tar, and they got tahar oil. Okay, because it takes 7 days, whatever. Okay? So that was the first part of the story. For Halakha Aleph was the military victory. Halakha Beis is the miracle law, right?
It doesn't really explicitly say that it's a miracle. It's just that it happened over less than 8 days.
Yeah, I guess so. But it's things like that don't really work, right?
They come in and made it
enough to last for one day and lasted 8 days. It's kind of it's not explicitly going to say the word miracle, but it's pretty, you know.
They made the Beit HaMikdash Tameh, right? Did that involve all of its scaling too, or is it just as a whole?
I'm not sure if the Mikdash itself could become Tameh.
Like, the story always sounds like the Greeks totally, excavated our temple, and then they come in after we've won this war to, ransack temple. It's like, oh, look, a little flask of oil, it's like the menorah.
Right.
Can we light the menorah in that situation?
I don't know. You mean, does the menorah itself become Tameh?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe not.
And can the menorah be lit when the rest of the temple isn't functioning? Is it independent, or does the...
That's a good question. That's a good question. Was the rest of the temple not functioning? I don't know if that's true. Could be the oil to bring Tobanos. I don't know. It's a good question. What else was going on?
Because we always hear the story, they came in, they found some oil.
I think Karbanos, which are the Tzibor's Tameh, I think maybe Karbanos. I think you're allowed to bring Karbanos in the Tzibor with most of the Tzibor. I think so. Maybe the oil, maybe that's one of the questions to ask, because maybe the oil menorah also. Something like that. So the question is, what's the deal? You slide a bit Tameh. those are good questions. I don't know. And I guess you have to really look into all these halachas in particular and see how, you know. It's a good question. Okay? Fine. So that's the second part of the deal, right? So there's two things. There's halach aleph and halach beis, right? Halach aleph is a military victory. Halach beis is the miracle. The miracle of oil. Okay. Just which one seems in your mind to be more significant?
The military victory.
The oil.
Without the military victory, we
underdogs win. Always win. They have a greater.
No, but without greater fine, without the underdog story, you don't have. You know,
defense is the greatest form of war.
Right.
It takes military history. That's not a big deal. That happens all the time.
Okay, so what's
oil? When was the last time you saw oil last? Oil than supposed to.
So you're saying is the oil is a greater miracle.
It's miraculous.
More manifest, miraculous, whatever.
It's fantastic that we won the war, but there's no there's no perversion of nature.
Yeah, but without the victory, you don't have the second mace of...
Yeah, I'm just saying...
What's valuable, though? What's more valuable for the Jew?
The victory. But at the same time, the victory doesn't show some, alternating nature at the hands of God.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, there's no clear... demonstration that God's involved in it.
Right. It's not like God came down in a pillar of fire and smote them.
Okay. Okay, so let's go a little further. And because of this, what's this?
Right, so that's what I was saying. Whether it was referring to bees or was it referring to Allah?
Referring to the war or was it referring to the candles? The miracle of the candles. So let's say. Meza, because of this, is Kinu Chacham Shavos Hadar. The chacham of that generation set up. She shmonas yamaylo these 8 days. She tchilasa melechem mishavas from the kislev that begin on the 25th of kislev. You may simcha mahala. Days of simcha, happiness and praise. Madlikim amaneros ba'era apistei abatim. You light candles in the evening at the door at the doors. Doors of the houses, the whole Laila of Laila, right, from all these 8 nights, the night of all these days. So Haros Lagalkan, to show and to publicize, to make known of America. Okay? Yamameilu, Hina Nikron Chanukah. These days are called Chanukah. Hina Surim Hasuru Dinas, Kimini HaParim. Right? And a lot of eulogies and fasts, just like Parim. Look at Neros going mitzvah and derech sofim. He creates a Megillah. And lighting Neros on this on these days is a mitzvah and derabanan like we're in the Megillah. So Gimel is basically saying about the mitzvah of Avodas Neros, right? So they have two parts. Aleph Beis are the two parts of the story: the war, military victory, then the miracle of the candles, and then Gimel is based. The result was the takana of the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. And these days, I mean, the days are also you may. Simcha v'halal. Three things. Like it's the Yimei Simcha v'halal, u'madlikim amaneros. Right? Yeah, and that generates, you can fast and whatever, because they're happy days. Here's the question. Daniel was asking, how do the Rabbanim have a right to just make up a new mitzvah? They're not protecting anything. It seems it's just a brand new takana. So do they have a right to do that? Or is it based upon... Okay, let's leave the question. Maybe we'll get to it. It's a new question. One question. So let's also look at us. So the focus here of the mitzvah, at least, seems to be the mitzvah seems like it's based upon the candles, right? The miracle of the candles, right? And that's what we're doing. Right? We're lighting candles to remember the miracle of the candles.
Right? The mitzvah, not necessarily the mitzvah, though.
No, right? The miracle. No, but you're right. But the mitzvah is reminding us of the nace of the candles. It would seem. Otherwise, how does the lighting candles remind us of the military victory? At least on the surface, it doesn't. I mean, you could say, well, you start talking about it, and there's the whole story and all that. But on the surface, the candles, the mitzvah was set up modeling after the miracle of the candles, not after the military victory. Like we don't just carry shields around on Hanukkah, but we light candles. Okay, so you could say, so what's wrong to tell us about the military victory? Just tell us that there was a miracle of oil. Who needs the back history of how it happened? Just say, basically, God made a miracle and made oil last 3 days, and then we have a Hanukkah because of that.
So Al Nisim doesn't really mention anything about the narrows.
Yeah, right. We'll get to Al Nisim, right. Now, one question, which I don't want to answer at this moment, but the question is, like, it seems to me you could ask. It's a funny kind of question, but who really needs the miracle oil?
What do you mean?
What's the point of it? You know, like, what's, I understand the idea we were oppressed. Like, I'm telling a story. What happened? We were being oppressed. And basically, we had a, we were saved. Our lives were saved. Now, what would have happened if there's no miracle oil?
Nothing.
I guess we wouldn't have been able to light the menorah, let's say, for a few days. What is, we would have lit the menorah a few days later. And then everything would have been great. So, like, what was the, it's like this whole miracle. Like, we know, like, the Torah holds, God doesn't just do miracles for nothing. Like, the miracles are for some purpose or whatever. It's not so simple. It's not just like a postulate of the law's nature being broken. It's not an everyday occurrence. But here's, like, God made a miracle. It just seems to be, like, somewhat superfluous. Like, you know? So Avi's suggesting that, right, I think it's here, right? The answer, or an explanation, well, why you need, so why do you need the miracle altogether for it, yeah. I don't know, we'll see, you'll tell me afterwards. But the idea is, if you just had the military victory, right, and I guess this was your point also, there. If you just have military victory, then we could just feel, oh, we're a great, strong nation, great fighters, right, that kind of a thing, right? In other words, you don't necessarily see God involved. You say, look, we're oppressed, yeah. And there's a million, and that was your point, there are a million military victories in history. And you say, against all odds, whatever. There are a lot of against all odds military victories in history. And on the contrary, there's a danger of us getting to our head and feeling like this, get us, the national pride.
We did it.
The Jewish people, we're a strong nation, we have a good army, we're great fighters. But like sometimes maybe, I don't know, I haven't studied Israeli history that much, but perhaps Israeli soldiers can feel that kind of a thing. We're the best fighters in the world, whatever. Yeah, right, it's an idea, but it's like to take credit and feel like we are the fighters, right? But that's the wrong thing. That's not the message of the miracle of Hanukkah, right? Messages: we're not saved because we're not, or we're not winning because we're strong fighters. We're winning because we are saved, because God saved us. Now that through a miracle is a way that it could be clear that God is saving us. Because if you say there's such a danger, if it's purely through natural means like a military victory, which is a war, then it's not clear that this is a God, this is God saving us. Human conquests or whatever, and then we'd go on a bad path. Whereas the point is not just for us to be saved from the Greeks, but for us to be saved from the Greeks and live, set up a proper Torah society. Being saved because of the fact that our ideology. So if we're going to take the Savior, we'll be saved and then let it get to our heads and then just become Jewish Greeks, so what does that accomplish? You know, the point is for us to realize, for it to bring us closer to God. And by having the miracle, it underscores the fact, it makes it clear that it wasn't just a military victory, but that it was a miracle.
I mean, I don't necessarily see where they would make that connection. For instance, you know, you just won a war.
Right, and then you have
you walk into the Mikdash and all this miracle, completely devoid of the actual military battle.
Okay. So what's the connection exactly?
Well, also, you would have to already have not made that distinction. Like, you walk into the Mikdash, that's one step. Like, why, if you're already in this world of we don't need God anymore, why are you going in the Mikdash? And then even furthermore, why would you take this path and use it?
No, I don't think that's what they weren't going into, you know, they weren't after the war saying, oh, we don't need God. It's more of, okay, fine, this is something that we could do. You know, the idea of miracle didn't pop into their head during the military victory.
Right, we did it.
Right, they thought it was a big.
Right, but now we're going to, of course, we want to keep the Torah. And I'm not saying that they're going to be, I'm exaggerating. They're not going to say, now we can go back to Mikdash. We could really, you know, go do Avodah again. We were prevented from doing Torah mitzvahs, but now we can do it again. So that's what they did.
And if there wasn't a miracle, they'd go back in. They'd have to clean everything up, and they'd have to start making some oil.
Right, then they'd start making some oil.
The service wouldn't really start yet.
Right. So what's the value of that? Good.
So then by having this oil last, it's like you get right back into it. There's no
right. Like it could be is that right? It could be is like that's idea. Like, yes, the connection is that the objective of the salvation, or the military salvation, was to allow us to do Avodas Hashem, to allow us to be involved in Avodah properly. So the if there were a lag, it would almost be like it's two separate things. We're saved, great. That's done. Okay, now let's do a Avodas Mikdash, separate thing, then do it. But having it go consecutively, is basically right when they won, and now they could do the avodah, and there's no lag. There's nothing right into it. God assured that it will go smooth transition between the two. God's showing that this is God. God saved you in order to allow you to do your avodah on the mikdash. We were saved because we're over there Hashem, because we have a lifestyle of Torah mitzvot, because we have a lifestyle of mikdash. So it's like the miracle brings the into focus, and now in the minds of the people also, he said the miracle is it does move people. So now in the minds of the people, they become focused on the mikdash, and the it becomes one big thing. God saved us and allowed us to be involved in the mikdash and to build the base, you know, to be able to be involved in the mikdash. So that the highlight of the miracle is it's showing the idea that the Jewish salvation is tied in with allowing us to do the Torah. So it's not just God said God likes the Jews because they're his favorite team or whatever. It's, you know, they're the ones who are involved in it. It's allowing them to do Torah mitzvahs. And that's manifest through the miracle.
Doesn't it show some... I feel like there's like a greater disconnect here, because like, okay, with Egypt, we're getting out of Egypt, and God's hand is there clearly the whole time,
right?
And then also, so how do we commemorate that? We commemorate it with a carbon, right? And that can only be done when that happens, then through the temple, but now we can't. Versus here, God's hand isn't as clear during the military, then we get this miracle afterwards.
Right.
And what do we get from this miracle? We get a Durabanan mitzvah.
No, we get the mikdash. I mean, for starters, we get a vote on the
right,
mikdash.
But like, how do we remember it? How do we commemorate this?
Oh, okay.
Here we get a Durabanan mitzvah that can be done even without a... versus,
well, what do you want to do? You can't make it daraisa.
It almost seems like if this were the this were the objective, like that's why the miracle was in the oil. It's almost like it was setting up for.
Well, the only thing is that if you're going to set something up as a carbon, then it's not going to be able to last.
Exactly. Versus for Pesach, that's what happened.
Well, the Pesach, it's a daraisa. I mean, it's a different, totally different thing. It's not like they set something up to commemorate. I mean, God, it's part of the mitzvah. So it's mitzvah on Pesach. But there's mitzvah, matzah, and mara, you know. Does the Rabbanan have in their control?
Yeah, I guess
this
goes back to my how did the Rabbanan make this question.
Right. But it's not, I mean, they can't just make a...
But like if we're saying that it's part of, it was part of God's plan to have the oil be found, it's almost like he was planning on it being able to be made into a Rabbanan that would last after the
perhaps. Perhaps. Well, the Rabbanan took the lead, it seems. But the point is like the idea is how to publicize the miracle.
Right.
So the idea is that if you can make a carbon, which is going to be done only in the Beis Hamikdash, then you're not going to, it's not going to succeed that well in publicizing the miracle.
What do you do for Pesach? Don't you make the lamb wherever you want?
No.
You have to do it.
Come to Eretz Yisrael, to the Mikdash. But I don't know if the purpose was to publicize the miracle. I see the Rabbanim have a specific objective. There's a miracle here, and they want to publicize it for always, for eternity. So the way they did it, by setting up a mitzvah, that everyone in their own houses, in all the houses, every house of a Jew, anyone, you always see candles, and the children bring to mind that mitzvah. But the idea of bringing to mind the miracle is not just bringing to mind that God does miracles, but that God is involved in the fate of the Jewish people so that they can be involved in Torah mitzvah. So it's a menorah, which is that which they did in the Beis Hamikdash. So it brings to mind the idea of miracles, but not just miracles, and not just military victories, but military victories and miracles for the sake of the Jewish people who are involved in a certain ideology and a way of life. Now, where did they get the right to set up a mitzvah like this, you know? So maybe it's like, maybe this is kind of opens the door to explain that, which is that God, you see, God made a miracle, and the purpose of the miracle was to show man this idea. And they realized that. It's like, the purpose of the miracle was to underscore a certain idea and to bring to mind the concept that God protects the Jewish people for this, you know, for the sake of being involved in Avodah Hashem. So maybe they built on that. They took the miracle, they interpreted the miracle as a matir for them to make a mitzvah, to further the idea of the miracle was trying to show people an idea. So they wanted to show, they took that lead and they set up a mitzvah which will show that idea. You know what I mean? Like that was, the miracle itself did, you know, indicated God showing people an idea. You know, so the mitzvah is the way that idea becomes internalized. Now, they internalize that idea through setting up a mitzvah which is built around that idea and makes that idea part of the history, you know, part of the nation. You know what I mean? I'm not sure if the... I may have to look into the halachos of those Baltosif or whatever. What I'm saying is the fact that they understood and they saw the miracle and understood that that was God trying to show us something. So then they just took it a step further. And they wanted to show that to all of Klai Yisrael, the Dori Doros. You know what I mean? It shows the idea that the victory of the Jew is because of Mikdash and because of the fact that we do have all the Mikdash. So that's like, this victory is different than other Jewish victories throughout the ages. You know, like the victory we get Israel, so we get Israel, but then now what? So it's true we live in Israel, but which is great, but it's not the Mikdash. So here is a military victory which underscores the objective of the whole thing. The objective of God's Hashgach Techa Yisrael is that it sets us up, protects us so that we can be involved in the system at the highest level. So this is that's what God, through the miracle, he showed them that idea. That he's involved actively. It's not just a military, nationalistic military victory, but he's involved in him saving the Jews to bring them towards a certain way of life. And that was an idea which they saw fit to continue for all generations through Sitting of a Mitzvah, which is that content. You with me?
Yeah.
So what about Al Nisim? Now Al Nisim, we noticed, doesn't really talk about it.
Right?
It says about the war, basically, yeah. Right? It says, what does it say? It says on the miracles, right, at least or whatever, the insurance says to tell the story. In the days of Matthew, when the Greeks stood up against us, against the Jewish people, to make us forget the Torah and to violate the mitzvahs, and you and your rachamim stood up in the time of our tzar pain and fought our fight, judged their judgment, took our revenge. You gave the strong in the hands of the weak and the small in the hands of the few, and to Tumeim in the hands of the Torah and the Rishon in the hands of the Tzadikim.
It would make sense, though.
What?
It makes sense to have it solely focused on the Melchama.
Okay, give me 1 second. And to you, through this victory, you made a great name for yourself in this world. This great Kiddush Hashem. And to the Jewish people, you gave a great salvation. And after that, the Jews went into the Beis Hamikdash. And they cleaned out the Heichal, the Mikdash. And they metahir everything. And they lit candles. And they set up 8 days of Hanukkah to give thanks. Right, and praise. So it's interesting. It does mention candles, but it doesn't mention the miracle. It just says that because of this, you're able to go into the Beis Mikdash and you're able to light candles. Okay, but it like kind of forgets the emphasis, or the, you know, it doesn't mention the candle, the miracle. It just mentions that they went to the Mikdash and light candles.
I mean, the whole idea of the tefillah itself is for God. It's a praise to God, right? So
okay, good.
That's focusing solely on the Melchama, because the Melchama was God saved us. So we're grateful that God saved us for what he did. It has no shaifas whatsoever to the arrows. It doesn't,
That's Hoda'ah. That's Hoda'ah. Right, it's in thanking the bracha on acknowledging God, thanking God. So the Hoda'ah we're giving is on what did God do for us. That's what you have to acknowledge, the chesed Hashem, that he saved us. So the salvation is what we're giving Hoda'ah on. Right, the benefit to us is, there's no direct benefit to us that he made a miracle. We're not going to give thanks. Thanks for doing the miracle. Miracle isn't our benefit. It's something to give thanks for. It's important, and we can learn about it, and we can understand it. But the idea, that's not the subject of Hodah. It's the subject of a mitzvah, which we want to publicize the miracle. But this is not publicize the miracle. That's not the nature of the tefillah. Tefillah is in the stage of Hodah. So halachically, we have to give Hodah to God for what he did for us. So how do we mention the candles, though? We do mention them. Do we explain that? They're mentioned, and after that, the Jews went to his mikdash and cleaned it out and lit the candles. Right? It does say that. Right?
No, because without what happened in the Melchama, without the miracle, the nation of the Melchama, we wouldn't be able to light the candles in our courtyard. We wouldn't have this ability.
Right, exactly. So are we thanking God for the candles?
No, we're thanking him for the nation of the Melchama.
Okay, but is part of that the candles?
Right, but part of that is the ability to further our ability to work in Mikdash.
Right. So we're thanking God for the miracle of the war. And but for what? What's the point of the miracle of the war? We have to mention that. We can't just say thank you for saving us and giving us back our money. That's not what we're thanking God. Thank God for saving us and allowing us to go into the Beis Hamikdash and do the Avodah. So it's not for doing the miracle. Yeah, it's true, it was through a miracle, but the purpose is not the miracle. The purpose is the fact that we're able to go and to reset up our Avodas Hashem. So we mentioned, after that, now that we had the Melter victory, we went in and we went to the Mikdash and we lit candles, you know? So you're mentioning the candles, but you don't care. The candles was to enable us, the miracle of the candles, to enable us to be able to do Avodas Hashem fully. So therefore, the Sheva, the Hodah that we're giving doesn't emphasize the miracle. It's emphasizing the value of the miracle is the avodah, the candle, lighting the candles that results, and the avodah, the mikdash, which results. So therefore, in the Hodah, we do mention it, but not the miraculous aspect of it, but the point of the miracle is the kiyum, the fulfillment of the whole thing, is the fact that we're able to do the avodah, the mikdash. But the mitzvah of Pirsum HaNeis is to publicize that God made a miracle and he wanted to show an idea, so then there's a mitzvah which is built around Pirsum HaNeis. So therefore you mention that. That's the whole mitzvah, is to remember that idea, but that's not a Hodah. So there's Hodah and Chanukah and Al Nisim and Tefillah, and then there's Pirsum HaNeis. They're two different things. You with me?
Go back now.
I just want to take up the other thing. Did you look at this at all or another?
No.
So basically, I want to just take up a continuation, I guess, from yesterday. One last point about the torch. Okay, new topic. Back to yesterday's topic. Okay, Torah. You don't need a Shabbos now. Torah. I can read outside. It's I'll read it, but it's pretty straight, simple.
What's the difference between learning halacha from the Torah or learning from the Mishnah Berurah?
Well, the Torah does is that he basically brings down the Gemaras and the Rishonim. Mm-hmm. He's started this thing. I mean, the organization of the Shulchan Aruch is from the Torah. Torah is the Rishon. He's the son of the Rosh. So he organized basically the halachos, you know, the Arbatura.
Some more thorough.
Well, it's not necessarily more thorough. It's not really going to be good to paskin from, because he's more bringing down the basic things and brings down the different shittas of the Rishon. You know, that's usually what he does. And then on the side, the Beis Yosef references the Gemaras that he gets it from. I mean, the Torah doesn't really say the quote Gemaras, but he quotes the basic halachas. Beis Yosef brings down all the sources and brings down some more Rishon or whatever, you know? But like for a more like, I guess you'd say like a conceptual, not a basic conceptual overview, basic shittas of the Rishon. I mean, the Torah is Rishon, so he doesn't have all the practical shaylas. No practical shaylas, you're not going to find in the Torah. But if you want just an overview to the basic, the main shittos in the area, the shittos of Rishon in a given area, then the Torah does that. You know, so the Torah brings down the machlokes Rishon. Mishaburo, if you look at Mishaburo, you're not going to find this machlokes Rishon. You know, but if you want a paskin, then you're not going to look in the Torah. You know what I mean? So, how did I even know about the Torah? I looked in the Rosh. I don't know. Maybe it's in the Ron or the Rosh. Someone says that the Torah argues. I forgot how I even know. But, yeah, you're asking something?
I forgot.
Yeah, okay, fine. So, the Torah basically has like this. I'm just jumping in the middle. But he says, the Rosh house, because of the Rosh now, is in Tafresh Ayin Aleph. Mistabra Shalor Chigim Zemizia Gatzba. So the whole case, remember the halacha is that you have to cover it with a thing. If you have a bunch of wicks on around the plate, so if you cover it, so then it counts for all the many people, because then you separate the wicks. If you don't cover it, then it becomes like a madura, and it only counts, it doesn't count for anybody. So it says that's if you don't separate them, a finger is a width. Right, but the Rosh says that if you separate the wicks out sufficiently, more than a finger's width, in the plate, so then you'll be fine. Because the whole problem is because it makes a mandura. But yeah, it doesn't make a mandura. It becomes, it's fine. What's the problem? Right? Seems fine. Makes good sense. So he quotes the Rosh. But in our Rosh, it's not there, but it's in the Ron. But I mean, the Rosh was his father, so sometimes he knew stuff that the Rosh didn't necessarily write. Yeah. Sometimes I've seen them ask.
Inside information.
Yeah, I know. Sometimes I've seen them ask questions. Where's the Rosh say? He doesn't say anything. I don't know. Seems like whatever. Okay, so he says, but venerally, he doesn't like it. He doesn't like it. And he says, venerally, the afilu chikim, even if you distance them, etzba, a finger apart, in latir, below kviskli, you still have to put on a clay. Why? The magvul yesh marachakas, what's the border? How do you get this amount? If they're thick wicks, big flame, even if it's more than a finger, they'll join together. If they're thin, then even less than a finger will be enough.
saying it's not an objective.
Yeah, where do you get objective thing of a finger? What's where the Rosh get that from? What kind of thing is that? So the Gemara says that's a fixed set thing. You need a thing. You need an objective halacha. They say, what's the objective halacha? You can't make an amount. Any amount is going to be subject to the nature of the works. So he says, what then is the halacha? The halacha is that it goes by you need to cover with a kli. Cover with a kli, then they're definitely going to separate. But once you separate it by space, space is no way to really get a good measurement on it. So therefore, the halacha is, they said, you have to basically cover with a kli. But the Rosh somehow says, no, an etzba. Right? I mean, it's not clear where the, what's, that's his kasha, where does he get an etzba from? Right? So I saw the Beis Yosef wanted to say it's supposed to have dafka means look at the thicker it will be it'll be more, it'll be less. It's not an exact science. I mean, the Rosh says that. It's a question of the Rosh mean literally exactly in that spot, you know. So the problem is, what's the problem? What's the Torah's issue? I mean, the Rosh is also funny. I mean, wouldn't you just say that it depends? If it looks like a torch, then it's a torch. Then it's a problem. If it doesn't, it doesn't. I mean, what's the Torah so bothered by? I mean, how many inches are you supposed to put it? I don't know. Whatever. Check it out. Do an experiment. You light it. You'll see. You know? However many inches it is, it will vary. Whatever. The main thing is that if it looks like a torch, then the Roa is going to be a problem. If it looks like a torch, even though it's really near, but it looks like a torch, that's a problem. That's not just an archonica. So what's the whole... Why is it so complicated, you know? You have to make it a tefach, the Rosh is saying a ketefach, an espa, a finger width, and the Torah is saying, nah, that's not going to work, because how you can differentiate, it's always going to differ. So you have to put a cover on it. Why do you have to put a cover on it? So make it far enough. Right? What's bothering the Torah? You know what I mean? Even the Rosh is also obvious. It's like the fact that he even gives them a measurement. Just say, we would say is like, the only problem is if they look like that together, if they don't, then they're fine.
And maybe because if you leave the halacha open ended like that, it's just going to lead to subjectivity, as opposed to if you have some sort of objective standard for it.
Right.
You know,
right. Okay. Good. 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 You say a little better than that. A little better than that. You're saying good. A little better. I mean, because you could say objectively, are they joined? Do fires join? Unless you're saying that's like a subjective thing. Fires joining. But I mean. Maybe because the wires flicker or whatever, but I mean, I think it would be pretty clear in a minute or two or whatever. Once they join, they're going to join. You see? You know?
If you codify halachic shear, then once the world knows that there is such a halachic shear, then once they see that shear being used in somebody in their neighbor's house, they know that it's got to be a Hanukkah event and not just some other.
Uh-huh. Right, but we'll be wrong if you do this, make sure it's separate. Make sure that the flames are separate. We'll be wrong. You can't make the flames together because that's going to look like a torch. So let the halacha be like that. Who said something about Kavsa Zaka? Someone started to say that yesterday.
We discussed it ever since.
I know. Someone did try to use that somehow here. That was Avraham that said yesterday, right? I think he did. But what's the idea for you see from Kavsa Zaka as well?
Right about to relight it?
Well, yeah, around to it. You have to relight it.
That it has to last a certain amount of time.
Okay, but if it goes out, then are you okay? You'll say or not? We say, okay, what do
we hold? We hold your fire.
You're fine. Okay, so why?
If you had enough oil to...
You had enough oil. Yeah. Good, why? Can you add oil later, by the way? Okay, let's say you don't have enough
oil.
It's
got to be fit for the mitzvah the second you light.
Very good. So that's what we have for the mitzvah, right? So the idea is that the mitzvah is in the hadlaka, right? The mitzvah is in the hamaisa hadlaka. Right? Now the hadlaka, what happens afterwards is look, whatever happens afterwards. So even though the purpose is piercing, but you have to do a hadlaka properly, right? The mitzvah is in the hadlaka. You have to have the right amount of oil and all that, right? Happens after is after. So maybe similarly here, you can't just say, if it looks like a menorah, like a torch, then you got a problem. So when does it look like a menorah? Afterwards. I mean, you can't do it away. Afterwards, you have to set up what's the mitzvah? What's the ma'aseh hadlaka? This all has to become put into the ma'aseh hadlaka. So even though it's truth, because it will look like a menorah, and then it's going to be possible because it's not going to function for piercing, but you don't measure the mitzvah afterwards. You say, light it, and then we'll see what happens. Then all of a sudden, because this everything has to be telescoped into the ma'aseh hadlaka, because it's ma'aseh mitzvah. So if that's the case, so the Rosh is saying, so there has to be a shear. If you're going to tell me that there's a psul of Nira Kimadura, so now you're going to have to tell me there's a shear. So then there's the idea, it's clay, if you cover it with the clay, then you say it's not Madura. But if you do it with wicks near each other, so they're bound to get together, they're bound to join together, and therefore it's possible. Even if they don't bound to join together, but you're doing a hadlaka, which has that character. But the Rosh is saying is, but if it's an etzba, if it's a finger, then that's sufficient separation, that objectively, it's that's a good hadlaka.
So is it really just the debate on what's the likelihood that this will turn into a menorah? Like, all would agree that it has to be set up in an ideal manner that it won't end up like that. But
right.
He's saying, I think this is enough.
Well, no, I'm not explaining the argument. I'm just explaining the one side. Explaining the Rosh. The Rosh is saying, I'm saying, why even the Rosh isn't just saying, take a look and see what happens? Because it can't be that way. So the Rosh is saying, there's a shear. The Torah is saying, you can't have a shear like that because it's going to vary. I mean, that's the Torah's question. I'm just saying, you see what the Rosh is trying to accomplish. And to accomplish that, you need to have a way to object, put it into the Maaseh Mitzvah. But the Torah's question is, yeah, but how can you do that? It's not like there's an halacha which we've seen on a shear. I mean, where did the shear come from? You're just making it up. Now, well, you make it up, but it depends. It doesn't depend on the thickness of the wicks or the thinness of the wicks, or, you know. So where do you come up with that? That's why there was, so what does the Torah say? The Torah says there's no quantity which could objectively fix it. So therefore, the Gemara says the solution is kviyas kli.
Right.
You put the kli, that fixes it. Quantity, it depends. You know, to make a quantity, just an arbitrary quantity, it's not always going to work. So if you want to make the mitzvah in a way which is going to work all across the board, then you got to say kli. Short of that, you can say, is it big enough? It depends. So once it becomes codified, the only way to codify it, the Torah argues, is to say the clay.
But the other side argues that an etzba.
I know, that's a question. The Beis Yosef wants to say that when the Rosh does an etzba, it means it's just telling you a ratio. In medium-sized wicks, it's an etzba. But if it's bigger, if it's smaller, then, you know. The question is, does the Rosh mean it's fixed an etzba, or does he just mean the size of wicks, which
under
normal conditions,
he thinks that there is an amount
space,
exactly, that will...
Right, that's what he's holding. He's holding is that
so
it can
really
be accomplished in two ways.
Like,
well, the question is, it could be maybe the Torah doesn't buy that kind of a floating halacha. Whereas the Torah's holding is you have to have a fixed solution. You can't just say
varying
floating
amount. So it's not that he debates whether that's good enough.
Right,
or not. He debates
you're
whether
right.
That,
right. So. To have a floating halacha, that's not a halacha. So the only halacha the Torah says is a Muslim seeker is a kli. Anything short of that is not a fixed thing. Whereas the Rosh seems to hold that you could prevent Madura through space. How much space? It depends. I don't know. It would be good to go further because it seems like the Torah's making a good point. But the Rosh is holding is that if it's, I guess the Rosh is holding is, look, if you say it's not going to be Madura, you could look, it's like a case by case thing, I guess. If you buy the Beis Yosef, that the idea is they have to do it in a way where objectively it's not going to be Madura, and it may vary by case, but fine. You know what I mean? The thing is the dimension of the sugya, which we didn't really break out yesterday, you know? I mean, maybe you get better than machlokas, but the idea that even though we're talking about Pearson and Madura and the way it looks, it's not quite how it looks. It's whether what the hadlaka produces, objectively, what will it look like, you know? But it has to be put into the hadlaka. Just like in Kavzazakwa, you know, so the amount of white.
To light it so it won't go out, hopefully.
Yeah, right, exactly. And similarly, if to light it so that it won't look like a Madura, and you have to do it in a way which you will prevent that problem. But it's not the problem later, it's the problem in the Hadlaka, what it projects forth in the future, you know? Yeah, okay, so I guess we'll stop here.